Grace is a real common word. It's one that you think of that word and how it's used in our society today. You have hospitals that you'll see and it's named maybe Grace Memorial Hospital or something of that effect. Maybe the girl down the street, her name was Grace. If you meet royalty, sometimes you may say, my grace, or your grace, rather. And so that word grace is one that we use a lot, but oftentimes it's real difficult for us to really comprehend exactly what's being talked about. We, even before we have a meal, sometimes we say grace when we talk about our prayer. And so when we think about that idea of grace, it is a word that is common in our vernacular, but it's one that has a common definition attached to it. So it was in the day of Paul as well. When Paul and others in his day and time would use the word grace and they would say grace to you or grace be to you, it was talking about things like good favor or good fortune. May you have blue skies, smooth seas. May your journey go well. Good luck, good fortune to you. But what Paul did when he used this word is he captured that word and layered upon it things that the world had never seen or understood before. And so for us as Christians, the word grace means a lot more than just a hospital, a person who lives down the street, a person of royalty, or even saying our prayers. Grace has a lot more significance to us. And so when you think about how it was used in the Scriptures, it is mentioned, the word grace is mentioned in every New Testament book, save 1st and 3rd John. Every New Testament book, over and over and over again. Paul uses as a typical introduction to his letters, such as he does in Romans chapter 1 and verse 7, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's typical ending to his letters is this, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, as he did also in Romans 16 and verse 20. And so it was something that was very, very common in his day, this grace. But as he and others wrote about grace, again, I don't believe that Paul was just saying good luck, good fortune, blue skies, smooth seas. I don't think that's what Paul was trying to communicate by that phrase. When you go to the reading that was given to us this morning from 1 Peter chapter 1, back up just a few verses. 1 Peter chapter 1 and look at verse 10. Here Peter says, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which have now been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. When Peter is talking about these things, he uses some very vivid imagery of things that were revealed to even the angels of God, and yet they were searching into them to try to understand what did this mean. And Peter says that this grace that was to be revealed was a grace that's been around for all times. It was shown to Adam and Eve in the garden. It was shown to Noah in that he was saved. He and his family were saved from the flood. But it was not ministering to them, but it was to be revealed to us. It was for our benefit. And it was to show us not just the working of God in the redemption of these people throughout all times, but the interest of us, ourselves, into heaven itself by the grace of God. Showing how this would be accomplished, how this would be revealed, and what that would mean. So when I say grace to you, I'm not wishing you good fortune, but what I am saying to you is know the redemptive power of God. Know the plan of God. Know God's power to save you. Know what God has been working since the foundation of the world. It has been manifest to us. And these are things which the angels themselves desire to look into. It is a magnificent working of God because, as we said, when we think about grace, grace is God's power to overcome sin. And that's what Peter is revealing to us. That salvation the prophets have inquired about, angels themselves desire to look into. When we think about what we commonly talk about with grace, we often say that it's unmerited favor. And yes, that is a characteristic of the grace that we receive. But grace itself is not unmerited favor. Grace itself is God's redemptive power. It is God's means of overcoming sin, and we receive it because it is unmerited favor from God. That is grace. So this morning, grace to you. Know God's power. Know God's strength. Know God's redemptive work in our lives. Because when we think about grace, it wasn't just something that God did long ago and then forgot about. Because even in the verses that were read for us this morning, grace was revealed long ago in the sending of Jesus. John tells us in the first chapter of his letter that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. It was revealed to us long ago. It was made manifest to each and every one of us. Each and every one of us understood what grace was about on that day where we confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord and were baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. We received that grace. As we walk about from day to day, our lives are filled with the encouragement and the strength and the teaching and the discipline that grace gives to us each and every day. And because of that, because of the grace of God, we are filled with a hope that no other person in the world can even understand, because of the grace that's been given to us, that we have the hope of eternal life. Not in, I hope I make it, like I hope tomorrow has blue skies and smooth seas, but grace to you. Heaven is your home, brother. Heaven is your home, sister. Grace to you. You live in that hope, a real hope, a hope that is undefiled, a hope that does not fade away, a hope that is anchored to the very throne of God. Grace to you. That's what I believe Paul is trying to communicate when he talks about this word and uses it so very eloquently in his writings. Grace is the word that the Bible uses to describe the awesome commitment that God has made. That awesome commitment and promise He has made to rescue those who've been lost in sin but come to Him in humble obedience. Those who yield to that teaching that grace gives. Because what grace is supposed to be about, is supposed to be about that covenant relationship with God. And that covenant is about God reclaiming those things that belong to Him rightfully. As we studied in our class this morning, our bodies were created for God, and we're supposed to be living our lives to glorify our God. And so when we think about how it is that grace reclaims what it is that belongs to God, that encapsulates everything about us, our thoughts, our speech, our actions. Brethren, it encapsulates our entire heart, our entire being. So when I say grace to you, it's about God reclaiming what is rightfully His. And it's only when we understand truly the grace of God, we can say it along with our brother Paul in Galatians 2 and verse 20, that I've been crucified with Christ. Because where was grace made manifest to us in the first place? But other than that cruel cross where Jesus was crucified. And it's no longer I who live, because my life is not one that's lived by grace outside of Christ. But what we're pointing to is God's covenant with me to work with me and in me and through me to glorify Him. And that is the greatest blessing that has ever been given to mankind. Grace to you. Grace be with you. And so it's a lot more than just wishing you good luck or good fortune. But it is meant to be something that works in our lives so very strongly. Brethren, that's what grace really is. Because as the scriptures point out in places like Ephesians 2, and I got to admit, Ephesians 2 is one of those chapters that I read Ephesians 2, particularly verses 1 through 10, and we're going to look back and forth at those verses several times this morning. And as I look through those verses, it is such a powerful and beautiful passage of scripture that is ruined by denominationalism. But the reason that it's ruined by denominationalism is because I allow it to be ruined. I don't allow it to be as beautiful and as meaningful as it's supposed to be. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are God's workmanship. The Greek word there is poema. We are His workmanship. We are His masterpiece. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Brethren, that is a beautiful passage about who you are. And when I say grace to you, I'm saying God's redemption be to you. God's power be to you. God's workmanship is what you are. You are God's beautiful creation. You are His masterpiece. And which men among us did not wake up this morning and look in the mirror and say, well, it's another day for this masterpiece? We don't wake up every day thinking that. But brethren, you should. When you get up in the morning and you're getting ready for work and you look in that mirror, you should look at yourself and say, this is God's masterpiece that's going to be in the world today, shining as a light. I see a bunch of you giggling right now. But it's true, because it's not about the flesh. But it's about what God has done with you. Think about who you were. Think about what you used to be. Think about what you would be today if it were not for the grace of God. And God foreordained this long ago, before the world was even created, that He would bring about a people such as you are today. Grace to you. Grace be to you. And for those who have not yet obeyed it and do not yet know it, grace to you. Know God's redemptive power to conquer sin in your life. Know God's power to conquer the consequences of sin in your life. Grace to you. Be God's workmanship. Be His creation, His great masterpiece that He would make. Because grace is not looking just as what you are today, but it's looking forward to what you should and what you can be. In Romans 8 and verse 29, Paul here says, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined." Young people who wrote down that word "foreordained" a few moments ago, this is the same idea. He predestined, foreordained to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. What God longs to see is Jesus Christ living in you. And Jesus Christ can only live in you by the grace of God. And it's because of His grace that that image has been given to you. And it's by the grace of God you have that image as that figure that you see as it is when you're looking in a mirror. And everything in your life that does not conform to the image of the Son of God, God is steadily trying to remove and pluck away and to shape and to form so that you might be conformed to the image of His Son that is clearly made manifest to us all. Grace to you. Be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And so our thoughts, our words, our action are to be as Jesus would have behaved. Maybe I'm not as kind as what Jesus was, but by the grace of God I can be. Maybe I'm not as honest or as loving as Jesus was, but by the grace of God I can be. Because everything that you see in Jesus Christ, and please hear me in this, everything that you see in Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, you can see in yourself. That's what conform to the image of Jesus Christ means. So everything that you see in the life of Jesus Christ, brethren, by the grace of God, you can see in yourself. That's what we mean when we say grace to you. Grace be to you. Grace be with you. That's what Paul meant when he uses that word. In Philippians 1 and verse 6, it says this, "Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." God longs to see Jesus in you. And He begun a good work in you when you initially obeyed that gospel. When you said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Christ. He is the Savior of the world. And I will dedicate my life to Him." That day, starting that day, God began a good work in you. And as Paul told the Philippian brethren, He will complete it in you. So when we say grace to you, that's what we're saying. May God complete His work in you. May God complete His purpose. May God spread the borders of His kingdom. May God have another generation of believers who are brought to obedience because of you. May God complete His work in you. In James chapter 4, I think one of the things that we sometimes make the mistake of doing is we don't see grace as an aggressive force. And I believe that we should. God's grace is an aggressive force in our lives. It's not a passive thing where I just hope things work out for you, that I hope things go well. But when I am saying grace to you, that's meant to be an aggressive thing in your life that changes you, that transforms you, and that moves you. Notice what James says in James 4, starting at verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be torn to mourning and your joy to gloom. Doesn't sound like grace, does it? But look at the verses just prior to it and just after it. James is talking about cutting some things out of your life, changing, being transformed, dare we say being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. God had begun a good work in these brethren. Did he not intend to complete it? And how would he do that? Notice in verse 5. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? That's not a direct quote from any Scriptures, but I believe it is a principle that's taught throughout God's Word. You are created in the image of God, and that is your spirit that's being talked about, your immortal soul. It was made in the image of God. And created within you is a spirit that yearns jealously. It desires to be dedicated to the God of heaven. Why are people so upset? Why are people so angry? Why are people so caught up in all these different types of mindsets and demeanors and attitudes that are negative? The reason being is because they're denying the soul that was created within them that yearns jealously. But what is it that God does? It says in the next verse, but He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, as we read a moment ago, we should change because God gives grace. In verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. Brethren, grace is meant to be an aggressive force in my life and yours. It's to be one of those things that when we say grace to you, when we read grace to you in the Scriptures, when we think about the word grace, it is meant to be, as we talked about and as Kelly mentioned this morning from Titus chapter 2, it is meant to be training us. It is meant to be a discipline in our lives. It is to be that thing that shows us and guides us and aids us and comforts us. But brethren, more than anything else, it is that thing that makes us be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. More like Him each and every day. So when I say grace to you, what I'm telling you is be more like Jesus. Know God's power to change your life. Know God's ability to save you from where you are at right now. Know God's power and His ability. Know His favor that is working in your life that will bring you to the gates of heaven itself and give you an entrance abundantly into that heavenly kingdom. Grace to you. Don't think today, I don't know if I'm going to heaven. Grace to you. Know today that you have salvation. Because God's Word, God's grace, has a way of rerouting our lives. In Philippians 2 and verse 12, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? And how can I do that? Because it's God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Grace is the basis of hope for all of creation. That's what grace is. The grace of God will move in and through me as I work out my own salvation. Because it's God who is working in and changing me and using me for His glory. Because He gives more grace. And He exalts the one who humbles themselves to Him. As it was with our beloved brother Paul. Paul says, for I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Grace has a way of rerouting our lives. Because grace has a way of cleansing us. Grace has a way of healing us. Grace has a way of purging us. Grace has a way of restoring us and redeeming us and rescuing us. People look for answers in a lot of places. I'll just change where it is that I live. I'll just change the person that I'm married to. If we just had another president in office, things would get better. If I could just get a different job, things would get better. Brethren, we look for answers in a lot of different places, but this is what you need: grace. You need Jesus Christ. What is it you're afraid of? God's grace is greater than that. What is it that's hurt you? God's grace is greater than that. Paul says, I'm not worthy to be called what I'm called today. And the reason I'm called that today is by the grace of God. The truth is this: there's not a single one of us in this building this morning who is worthy to be called the name Christian. But by the grace of God, that's what you are. And His grace toward you, brethren, is not in vain. Because it moves us and it motivates us. It guides us. It qualifies us for His service. So grace to you. Know His redemptive power. And know what He can do with you. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. And I want us to read these verses again. And struggle as much as we might. Don't allow the denominational error creep in as we read these verses. But hear them as Paul intended for them to be heard to you. Ephesians 2, starting at verse 1. And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you, put your own name there, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Brethren, grace to you. We need to stop seeing Jehovah as a God who is so angry and is so hard to satisfy. A God whose anger has to be appeased each day instead of a love that's enjoyed. Instead, seeing God as one who desires all to be saved. A God who loves us and has shown His dogged determination in redeeming mankind in the sending of His Son. Brethren, we are not the work of any work that you could come up with, but we are a result of God's grace. We're His workmanship. We're His masterpiece and all these things. It's by God's grace you can become more than what you are today. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18 tells us this. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Remember each day that you're being reshaped into the image of Jesus Christ Himself. And that everything you see in Jesus Christ, you can see in yourself. So what is it that you're having difficulty with this morning? You find it difficult to forgive other people? You feel like that's something that's just about impossible for you to do? And tell you the truth, it is. It is impossible for you to do. But Christ can. So grace to you. Single mother or father, raising children by yourself because you had a spouse who was unfaithful. grace to you. May you know God's work and power. Adulterer, the one who betrayed your family, grace to you. May you know God's power. May you know His redemptive work. May you know His healing. Addict, the one who cannot give up alcohol and drugs, the one who is constantly turning on their computer and watching things you should not, grace to you. May you know God's redemptive power. May you know His work. May you be His masterpiece. What's life done to you? Have you been beat up? You've been kicked? You've been stomped on? Grace to you. I'm not wishing you good luck or good fortune, blue skies. May you know God's power to heal. Have you been the abuser? Grace to you as well. May you know God's power to change. That's what grace is. That's what grace is for. And brethren, when we say grace to one another, that's what we're saying. So when you read your scriptures and you open up those first pages and you see Paul and others saying, grace to you. At the conclusion, may God's grace be with you. He's saying, know the Lord and be like Him. May you know His redemptive work. What do you need this morning? I think all of us, as this question asks, need grace. We all have a past that's hard to sometimes conquer, to move beyond. But by the grace of God, we can. Do you know that grace? Has God begun a good work in you? Would you trust His grace that He will complete it until He returns again? If that's where you're at this morning, this invitation is not meant to just slide by as every other. But truly think about what you need. Because what you all need, we all need, is God's grace. If you'd be a recipient of it this morning, won't you please come as together we stand and sing.